Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we are here for you. Speak to us, minister to us. May your word spark life. I pray today, Lord, that we would be energized. I pray that today, where for some of us our heart fire is but an ember, and I pray that today you would breathe upon it and spark it to burn bright. I pray for those of us whose heart fire is burning the brightest it's ever burnt, fuel it even further, Father. And I pray for those of us that aren't even sure where our heart fire is, that you would draw us again to that place of finding you. Do something special within us. And God, if you can create the entire universe, then you can also change the temperature of a room. And we pray that, Lord, you would help us to stay awake and alert, and that you would come and fill this space in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, we finish off our journey teaching through our values. We began this journey in September, in which we called out our values that we believed was in the soil of the church, was in the foundation of the church. And we've been on a bit of a journey exploring those. And God has taken us on a journey, because the original plan was to have finished teaching through those by mid to the end of January. And here we are in June, just bringing all of that to a bit of a close, but continuing to build upon it as we go forward. And our final value that we sit in today is this one. Authenticity is our approach. We are a church with a call to be authentic in our discipleship. We approach everything with a desire to be real and to explore, or to be real and explore the reality of God. We began our time exploring this value by looking at what it means to be authentically Pentecostal. And we had some really special times as we sought to explore Pentecost in a way that was safe, in a way that was real, and that was authentic to each and every one of us, whilst at the same time holding that value in a way that was authentic to us as a community and to what we believe and the way that we read and interpret Scripture. Then when we began to explore the way that this core value shapes us as a people, we turned to one particular passage of Scripture to guide us, and we kind of used that as a springboard, and in fact, it's going to be a wider springboard for the journey that we take after summer between September and June next year. And we unashamedly sit just at the opening of this passage for a little bit as we get ready to explore that deeper and further as we move from preparing the fields to building the barn, as we spoke about last week. And the passage that we turn to for this is Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. So if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. And it says this: love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. At the heart of the Christian faith is a call to love. And we're told by Jesus that the greatest commandment is to love God with all that we are, to love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength to love from the center of who we are. And the second greatest commandment, we're told, is like it. It is to love your neighbor as yourself. And this call to love and being loved is one that is found throughout the story of God. Jesus demonstrates this call in John 13, in that moment when he demonstrates his love for his friends, for his disciples, as he washes their feet. And as he does, he talks to them about the depths of his love. In fact, the whole record of this moment is set up with the statement, and Jesus knew that the hour had come to leave this world and return to the Father. Having loved those who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. This act that we view as an act and a demonstration of servanthood, because it is, but it is framed for us as a moment in which Jesus demonstrates the full extent of his heart. He put all of his love on display. And as he is doing that, he demonstrates love to them. And then he turns to them and he calls them to do the same as he has done. That as they have been loved, they are to themselves love. And the scripture continues to present this to us, this call that tells us over and over to love and to be loved. And Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, after the moment of washing the disciples' feet, he takes time to pray, and he's praying for his disciples, he's praying for his friends, and by default, he's praying for all believers that will come after them, and his prayer is that they would love one another. And that actually this act would become their defining characteristic. His prayer, his heart for them, his dream, if you like, his wish, his legacy, is that they would be known as his followers because of their love for one another. That they would be known as disciples because of the way that they journey with and the way that they carry being loved and showing love. And there comes that theme again that we saw in the foot washing moment. A demonstration of love to them and a desire for love to be demonstrated by them. And this is a common theme throughout the story of God, and it's a common theme throughout the pages of Scripture. Even the New Testament epistle in 1 John 4 calls out, we love because he first loved us. And there is this constant idea within the discipleship journey that faith is all about journeying in this cycle and this experience of being loved by God and then showing his love, experiencing and demonstrating. Beholding and reflecting, being loved and loving. And there's loads of scriptures, I'm sure there's many others that you can think of, that call out this same theme or present this same golden thread. In Romans chapter 12, the passage that we land in picks up this same thread. The NIV puts it really bluntly, love must be sincere. The Message translation puts it beautifully, love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. And when we read that, we're back at the greatest commandment again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That's to love from the center of who you are. But then we're told to love others the same way. And in fact, the verses that follow on from this into this passage that we're going to be looking at after summer are all about how to love from the center of who you are. It's all summarized in loving from the core of who we are. So Romans picks up this golden thread running through the call of faith and running through the journey of discipleship. It's the call to behold and to reflect, to love and to be loved. But Romans, while it picks up the same golden thread, it brings a particular focus and a particular emphasis to it. Because Romans calls for sincerity. It calls for authenticity. Love must be sincere. Love from the center of who you are. Don't fake it. And Paul issues a warning centuries ago that is still a valid warning today. It still rings true today, and it's as real now as it was then. His warning and his clarion call is for sincerity in the church. for authentic faith and authentic discipleship. And he writes, and it seems so simple what he says. It seems so rudimentary what it is that he asks for. But yet it is so deep and it is such a complex call. God's people are to authentically and sincerely embody love. Seems so simple, but yet it's so profound. And although it is simple, we get distracted in church life and so many other things about our right to sincerely and authentically display our gifts, or our call to sincerely and authentically channel and move in the anointing, or our call to sincerely and authentically decree and declare and to bind and to loose, or our call to sincerely and authentically declare truth and preach the word. And yet God says, yeah, all of that is important, but actually here is what lies at the heart of all of this. We are to authentically and sincerely embody love. And Paul is such a good pastor because he begins to list the how-to. And it's not so much that it's a checklist of duties that have to be ticked off in a box. He gets practical. He says, right, here's what I want you to do. But then he kind of calls out how to begin to embody that. But we've got to be careful not to view this as a checklist, because authentic loving that emanates from the core and the center of who we are is not a learned academic exercise. It's not a list of duties or actions that embody this, because we can do practical stuff which, if they don't involve the very core of who we are, and if they are not sincerely an extension of the heart, then they're not authentic. And Jesus pulled the Pharisees up for this, and he's like, you're going through all of this stuff about washing your cups and your plates and all that nonsense, but your heart is totally devoid of this. It's just fake. It's empty. But rather, what Paul lists for them here is a way in which this authentic loving can shape their culture as a people. He writes to encourage a shared ethos amongst this group of people in this community of believers. He's speaking into their values, as it were. And what is called out is about mindsets. It's about lifestyles. It's about approaches. It's about taking authenticity as an approach to faith and to life. And he calls out this journey of discipleship, and he says, listen, don't fake it. Don't fake it till you make it. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Be sincere. Be authentic. And do you know what? We live in a world right now that is obsessed with the artificial and obsessed with being something that you're not. It's all about injections and Botox and implants and airbrushing photos and filters and artificial intelligence and all this kind of stuff. And I can't help but wonder if, as culture has moved towards embracing the artificial as the normal, has the church begun to follow suit? Do we need to remind ourselves of this call and let this mandate visit our souls again? Do we need to run from artificial and run towards authentic? And by that, I'm not saying nobody can have Botox or implants or anything like that. It's between you and Jesus and your bank balance. But what I'm talking about is, in this day and age in which churches become produced and commercialized and marketed and branded with logos and taglines and celebrities and machines, sometimes it feels like we're more interested in promoting a brand of church than advancing the kingdom. Oh, how we need to return to authenticity. Coming back to this rudimentary understanding of discipleship as loving from the center of who we are, and doing so in a way that is real, sincere, true, and authentic. And that really challenges so much about the way that we have constructed and approached what we call church. And I'm not talking about us here, I'm talking generally, because we can be so guilty in our modern era of church being a bit like a machine, where people come into church and they're met with, here's what you need to believe, here's why you need to believe it, here's how you should believe it, and by the way, we expect you to start believing that now. So if you could just do that, that would be great. And I'm not saying that we should shy away from presenting the word of God or declaring the truth and the power of the gospel or even what he calls out as his standards. We should always do that. But what we do need to do is let people authentically explore such things. I've been so blessed and challenged as a leader recently by some folks who have come along to this church for the first time. And various reasons have brought them through the doors of a church for the first time. And in relation to faith, they've said, I'm not there yet, but I'm open. I get what you're saying, but my soul isn't quite in the place of connecting with that just yet. I'm exploring, I'm still processing, I'm still learning. And I think, how amazing is that? For someone to come and go, do you know what? Or people to say, I'm here and I'm not quite sure I'm on the page, but I'm willing to at least look at what's on the page. Because the me 20 years ago when I first started in this ministry gig would have said, well, what's stopping you from believing that? And here's why you need to believe that. And your whole eternity hangs on this and you need to believe this right now. But the problem with that is that's putting me in charge of their discipleship and not Jesus. And I think, how amazing is it that we have a church family and a church culture where people feel that they can be authentic about their journey and still feel loved and welcomed. And I'm not saying that we create a place where it's like, you can just believe anything that you want and still come here. We're still very determined to portray and to present what the Word of God says is truth. And here's what we believe and here's the journey that we're going on. But we're willing for you to authentically explore that with us at your pace. Because it's so easy to fit into molds of stuff, to follow herd mentality, to adopt modes and postures that satisfy the social norm but betray the truth of the heart and the contents of the soul. We come to a place, this place of discipleship, equaling a mantra of beliefs. But have we lost sight of the fact that discipleship equals loving from the center of who we are? Where we often view churches that are successful in discipleship. Those that are calling out, this is the number that get baptized, this is the number that get saved, here's the number of plants, here's the number of campuses, here's the number of people that were in our services. Where I just am more and more convicted that we need to be a church that says, this is our metric for measuring successful discipleship. We just want to be a place that loves from the center of who we are. We want to create a community of people that just loves from the center of who we are. Loving God from the center of who we are. Loving others from the center of who we are. And it seems to me that to love from the center of who we are can only truly happen when we first of all allow love to permeate the center of who we are. The scripture says in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. Could that suggest then that the way to authentically love from the center of who we are is to first of all allow him to love us first? To let his love break into our heart, to let his heart invade our heart. To love by being loved. That seems like the starting point of authentic discipleship to me. Not necessarily subscribing to a set of beliefs or in theological positions and reciting them like a robot, but letting God authentically and sincerely love the very core of who we are. Embracing his love, his demonstration of love, his call of love towards us. It's interesting, the Bible doesn't say it's the doctrine of God that draws us to his repentance. It doesn't say it's theology that draws us to repentance. It says it's his loving kindness that does that. It's when the love and the kindness of God is embraced by the soul. That's when deep-rooted transformation begins to happen. And that's when he begins to change us to become like him. And that's when we actually want to become like him. When we encounter him and his love and that perfect love and that unconditional love. We're willing to change our belief processes. We're willing to shape the lens that is over our soul. We're willing to transform the character and the nature that we hold within to become more like him who is so perfectly wonderful. That's when we begin then to love from the center of who we are, reflecting back to him the love that we have experienced and then reflecting the same to the world of those the world around us so that those about us can then begin to see us in him and him in us. That's discipleship. Becoming like Jesus is discipleship. And I think that's why Paul sets this whole call up in Romans 12, this call to authentically love from the core of who we are. He sets it up with a call, first of all, to grasp a fresh vision of mercy. He says in Romans 12:1, in view of God's mercy, offer your everything as a living sacrifice. He says, get a fresh vision of mercy. Let your soul be gripped by his love. Let him love you and then let that shape the way that you love and the ethos that you embrace and the culture that you hold and the approach that you take to life and living. The only way that we can love from the center of who we are, the only way that we can hold love as a state of being and a manner of doing and to do so in a way that is true, real, and sincere is if we allow our hearts, souls, and entire being to be loved from the very epicenter and core of God's heart. This is when true discipleship begins. Because that's when we begin to hold at the center of who we are a state of being that is just like his. It's when we begin to operate with his character and his nature and his approach and begin to operate with a response that embodies him. It's when we behold and then we reflect. There's that golden thread again. We need to begin to embody reflective Christianity again because that's where authenticity lies. Think of it this way. When you stand in front of a mirror reflects back to you an authentic, true, and real-time image of who you are. Now, that image might look different than the day before. It might look different than the year before. But it's a real-time image of who you are. It might look different before you've been in the shower to when you've been in the shower. It might look different after you've put on your makeup and polyfiller. It might look different depending on the time of day. It might look different after you've wrestled your toddlers into bed at night. But that image will always reflect, that mirror will always reflect a real-time image of who you are. But when you look at a photograph presents an image of who you were. And at times, that image can lack authenticity. Because in a picture, we can pose and we can create an image. We can portray whatever we want to. We can look happy when we are not. We can look and appear angry when we're not. We can look healthy and well when we're not. We can appear friendly with others in a photo when inside we're like. See, when someone points a camera at you, your instant reaction is to smile. If I was to hold up my phone right now with the camera on and say, I'm going to take a picture, you would instantly smile. It's an automatic response. It's an automatic response that can at times betray our authentic self and portray an artificial self-image. And Paul says this, don't fake it. Authentic discipleship involves real time. It involves beholding and reflecting, which means we need to ditch the Polaroid Christianity that has become popular. That's about manufacturing an image of church and faith and portraying what looks good and sexy. We've got to instead stand in front of the mirror and be real and authentic about who we are and bring that to God and let who we are be loved by the center of who he is. Do you know, I can tell you, we're in a room today with I don't know how many people. None of us will be the same. For some of us, we've journeyed with Jesus a while and we're in a place where we've never been closer to Jesus than we are right now. We've never looked more like him than we do right now. But for some of us, we might be in a place where actually in our journey, we've never been further from Jesus than we are right now. We've never looked less like him than we do right now. And for some of us, we probably don't even know what we look like, where we are, or what's going on. But I can tell you right now, no matter what end of the scale you are at, wherever you are, whatever you are, whatever state or condition you're in, good, bad, or indifferent, however close or far away from Jesus you are right now, I can tell you this. Whoever you are loved from the very core of his being right now. And he invites you to bring who you are right now, real time, not Polaroid, not photograph, but real time, to look in the mirror and to bring who you are and where you are right now into his presence and permit that to be loved by him. Because that is then, as he begins to love from the core of who he is to the core of who we are, that then begins when we can begin to reflect what we're beholding and to do so in a way that is stunningly authentic. Let's ditch Polaroid Christianity and let's embrace authentic discipleship. A discipleship that is all about beholding and reflecting. A discipleship that places presence as a priority and family as a foundation. A discipleship that says, I come into this environment of family, into a place of acceptance without conformance. I come into a place where I'm loved and valued for who I am, and I come in an authentic pursuit of your presence. I don't know where I am. I might be good, bad, or indifferent, but I am so passionate about prioritizing your presence that I just bring who I am in pursuit of you. And I come to behold and to reflect, to be loved and to love, to let you love me so that I can let myself love. I come to love you with all that I am and to serve you in that stance by loving the world around me and those that you put within it. It would seem that all of our other values flow out of and build on this one. When authenticity is the approach, presence is the priority, because we say it doesn't matter where I am and what's going on, I'm coming into your presence. When authenticity is the approach, family is the foundation. Because we come into that place of saying, you might look different to me, your ragged edges might appear more ragged than mine, unlikely, but your jagged edges might appear more jagged than mine, but I love you anyway. When authenticity is our approach, serving is our stance, because as we are loved unconditionally, we can't help but then reflect that love and serve the purpose of God by loving the world about us. Let's be a people whose mantra is this: don't fake it. Let's be a place and a people who don't do fake and who don't seek and strive to present a trendy, sexy brand of church and Christianity. Let's just be a people that always seek to present a sincere one. Let's get rid of the Polaroid robotic type responses and approaches and commit, and I mean truly and sincerely commit, to exploring a journey of authentic discipleship that is all about beholding and reflecting. We must become a reflective people. reflective in practice, that we authentically pursue and embody practices that bring our soul time and time again into the place of beholding him, positioning our soul with a view and a vision of grace and mercy, and to do so not for status or profile or recognition. That's Polaroid Christianity. That's fake. But instead we do so for the purpose of serving his heart and his purpose, because that is truly reflective Christianity. We are a church with a call to be authentic in our discipleship. We approach everything with a desire to be real and to explore the reality of God. Authenticity is our approach. And today I invite us as a church not just to align with this value, but to make a conscious decision to nail our colours to this value and to say, this is who we're going to be. Authentic, beholding and reflecting. We're not going to do photographic Polaroid nonsense. We're not going to seek to present airbrushed, modern, trendy stuff that looks fantastic. We just want to be true and real and sincere. And we place this in our building blocks and we build everything upon this approach, that we are authentic people. And whether we're in a good place, a bad place, or an indifferent place, we're going to love one another. And together we're going to carry one another. In the weeks that you can't quite worship yourself into the presence of God, we'll do it for you. In the weeks where you can't quite pray the prayer that you need to pray, we'll pray it for you. Because in the weeks that we can't do it, you're going to do it for us. We're going to be real and we're going to be authentic together. And all of that starts by coming to the mirror. And for a while, God's been bringing the church to the mirror, and it's not always been nice seeing the real-time image, but we've been working on that and God's been amazing. But I think maybe as individuals, we need to come to the mirror and rip up the photographic picture that we hold, the spiritual profile picture that we have when we think of ourselves, and just look straight in the mirror and see real time where we're at. And whether we like what we see or whether we don't, we bring that and we allow it to be loved from the very core of the Father. I can't help but think that on Father's Day, that's exactly what he wants to do for us. I wonder today if you would let your soul be loved by the very core of God. Let's invite his presence, shall we?